Welcome back to the Moms Do Business Different podcast. I'm your host, Kay Hillman, believer, wife, mama, and creator of the Shmoney Mama Gang. Myself and my team support mamas who are service providers and coaches in creating strategies that make buyers say, take my shmoney, and create companies that bring in high cash months doing the bare minimum. Join me for conversations on money, business growth, sales, productivity, and the mindset of being a mom who does business different. Mama, are you ready for the vibe? Listen up and let's get this shmoney.
Hey boo, hey, I am so excited about this episode, guys. We're doing an interview and you know what? I've been so ready to do some interviews and today we're gonna do like a little mama CEO diary. So we're really gonna be pulling back the curtain and having just a really open and unique conversation about the challenges and the journey of being a mom in business. And so today I have my girl, Haley Schmidt of the Mama Method podcast. She's a business coach for moms and she has two little girls. So she's totally a girl mom over there and I'm a boy mom. So we're just going to have like all the synergy over here. But I first want to welcome you to the show. Hey, Haley.
Well, thank you. Hi. Super, super excited to be here. We chased each other down to finally make this happen.
Girl, did we chase each other down? It has been so crazy. But I mean, listen, I feel like that's like prime mom CEO type of vibes.
Yes, yes.
Glad we did brand. Very on brand. We're so on brand right now. So like I said, we're going to be just having an open conversation about our journeys. And I want to say, before we even get into this, y'all, this is a two-part episode, okay? So I am doing part one, and then you're going to go over to the Mama Method podcast to hear part two, okay? So on part one, we're going to be talking about our journeys, just how our journeys have evolved. And y'all got to hear how Haley has just evolved, because I mean, I've been a longtime fan of her brand. And so I'm so excited to like get a peek behind the curtain of how you felt and what you've experienced as you have evolved on this journey, not only of motherhood, but also being a businesswoman and how you've managed to build a six and multiple six-figure business in this way. So this is part one, and then stay tuned and head over to the Mama Method podcast to hear about part two, where we then go over and discuss those unique challenges that we've faced and how we've kind of overcome them. So since I'm like a fangirl, I'm just going to like jump in and tell people what the story is. And then I want you to kind of like flesh it out for us. So could you first share with us, what did your business look like when you first started? So I really want you to take us back to like that beginning. And if you're willing, like share, you know, the numbers, the little juicy details, because we all, you know, we have the questions of like, how long did it take you? Where did you start kind of thing?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And I just appreciate that realness too. I think that's something that I try to always share, like the full transparency of that journey, because we want to have that picture for people who want to be set up for success. So I started my mommy journey and my business journey went together hand in hand at the same time. So I did both. I was first in the fitness industry. So I was in the fitness industry for 10 years. That was both in person and online. I was in person for a lot of that. And then when I got pregnant with my oldest daughter, Camila, I was very sick for those. I was not one of those lucky mamas who got through scot-free from, it's not even morning sickness, day sickness, the 3-month hangover of pregnancy. And so I went through that. And with in-person training, it was just, and that's still the phase in pregnancy where you're not telling people. And I had to reschedule sessions and group classes and all of this stuff. And in-person training was already very inconsistent hours, inconsistent income, which is already, you know, not great. But when I stepped into motherhood, I was like, no, it's just not conducive. Like, this is not going to support. And for me, my decision, I want to be home with my kids. I want to homeschool my kids. And so knowing that, I'm like, I have to make this change now, because if I don't make this change now, I'm already going to be making sacrifices that I don't want to. And so that's when I shifted into the online world. And I had kind of like seen it before. Like, I knew people were doing it in the fitness industry, but I didn't know how, you know? So I started with a little messy action, like all of us do, right? So once I had my daughter in 2019, my oldest, my first baby, and I was in the newborn phase, the nursing through the night, becoming a mom and my whole world shaken to the core, you know, adjusting to all that is when I dove into the online space. And so I first did, and I always tell people this story because these are the mistakes we learn from on our journey, right? I started, full transparency, speaking of numbers, I was broke. Like, I was in-person training like 35K averaging a year. Okay. I was already breaking even with my bills. I had like 5K credit card debt. And then I had my daughter, and she's a March baby. And in the new year, my health insurance switched and we got hit with a $15,000 bill, which was a surprise after her birth, that was not going to be covered. So that went on a credit card too. And so I had like these two maxed out credit cards. I was in this decision where I was like, I'm quitting in person cold turkey. So really I wasn't even making that 35K at this point. And so that's the position I'm sitting in. But I knew I needed to make this online business work. And the first mindset that, you know, I was stuck in was I need to save money. Like I can't hire the coach. I can't do the thing. Like I don't have savings. I'm breaking even with bills. I have this debt that's weighing on me. I can't hire the coach. And so I was a course collector, you know, a free training here and a $20 course here and a $50 course here. And I told myself, well, this is going to work. And then it just, and I've moved very quickly. And that's something I will tell you, like I spent that money, even though I felt like I didn't have that money, very quickly, because going online is totally different. It's totally different. And every time I learned one thing, I realized there was 15 other things I didn't know. And I was like, I need some kind of support. But the courses were like these little puzzle pieces, and I had no idea how they went together. I didn't have the big picture or roadmap of how to do it. So it just wasn't working. And so I hunted down, I scoped out a coach, and I vetted a few because I wanted to really get that support I needed. And I remember getting on that sales call with her, and I was so set on hiring her one-on-one. I was like, I am so in debt in this. I'm not getting out of it right now. I have to make this work. And she told me that it was $15,000 to hire her for 6 months. And I felt like she like slapped me across the face, you know, like, girl. I was like, well, I don't have $15,000, you know, but I got, and that was my brain. My brain was like, well, I don't have that, you know. And I got off that call and I went and talked to my now husband. And I said, I think it's crazy, but I think this is what I have to do. And so I'm going to make it happen. So I applied for a new credit card. We had really good credit. Cause the thing about using credit cards is you get credit if you pay them, you know? So the only plus that came from all that credit card debt, and I got approved for a new card. So I'd open a new card for interest free for a year. I asked for a payment plan for her. I made my own payment plan with that credit card and I did it. And in that first year fully online, I signed 6 figures. Now, I really want to like be transparent with this though. Signed six figures is different than cash 6 figures. So it was not cash 6 figures to my bank account. And two, the other thing is that even when I was in-person training, I was showing up on social media. So this was not me starting from ground zero as an online fitness coach. Cause I know a lot of people kind of compare themselves when they hear a story like mine. Oh my gosh. And that's what I'm going to do my first year. I had a presence online already, and I built that for free years in advance. So to give a little perspective on how that happened, but I really just, I credit to getting the high level support and putting myself in a position that I just had to succeed. And so I did.
I love, this was so good. I love how you answered questions before I was like, oh, let me ask this. And then like, you would answer it in the next thing. But one thing that I really pulled from what you just said is how you just made decisions. Like you saw what you were working with, what your situation was, and you made decisions from being in the debt, you know, and making the decision of like, even before then, of just making the decision of, you know what, I know I want to be home with the girls. I know I want to, you know, homeschool and things like that. Like just making those decisions and saying like, okay, I can't do the in-person. I need to figure out a different way to, okay, now we're switching to online. And there's that period where it's like, we're not making any money because I'm not doing the in-person, but I'm also not really booming with coaching clients yet. So what are we doing here? But that conscious decision to say, you know what? I know what I'm working with right now, but I'm still going to make the decision to invest in myself and to figure it out. And I feel like sometimes a narrative that we can sometimes spread is, oh, you know, things should just happen easily. And it's like, no, there's some hard decisions that we have to make and some things that we have to sacrifice to show up to get us to the point that we want to get to. And so I feel like that beginning piece, like you just really set a good context for that. One thing I would love to know though, that you mentioned that you didn't start from zero with your social media. And so, you know, is social media like your main strategy for your marketing?
Yes. Instagram is like 99% of it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. I love, girl, that's how I started too. I love Instagram. I'm not on the Instagram hate train. Like, I'm just like, I love Instagram.
Yes, so, me too.
tell us, talk us through, like, maybe from that period that you were just doing it just to, like, build your presence, what did that look like for you? Because I know that was, like, kind of pre you starting your coaching, but, like, clearly we see how this was a great thing for you to have when you did transition to that online space type of coaching. So what did it look like maybe for that journey to get to when you actually officially launched and then made that first six figures? And thank you for explaining, like, that it's different from, you know, cash versus, like, what we sold.
Yes, I want people to understand that and not feel like that's normal or get confused, because I think there's not a lot of transparency on those numbers and that terminology usually. So I want to make sure that I always
right.
am transparent. Oh, but that's such a good question. So it was really messy. I mean, my social media presence was not strategic. It was not that I had learned it from anywhere. I had been, I don't know if you guys, it was a network marketing company. It's still a company. It's called Prove It. And they had a supplement called Ketones. And that was like a big thing. And I was using that supplement. And one of the like big names in the company was like, lived near me. And so she was like, hey, just like join this team and, you know, just get started. And so even though I am not a network marketing fan, I don't think, you know, and people are going to disagree with me. I don't think it's the best place to be even as a mom, because you have to work so much to get anything. Whereas like, and it's not in your own time and just, yes, you know, a whole other conversation. But what I did take away from that was I saw these people show up, you know, I saw these people show up online, and where I wasn't into like the cold messaging or things like that. I learned, you know, I did challenges like live every single day on my Facebook, and nobody gave me a plan on what to go live on. I mean, it was like, people were asking me, are you a life coach? Are you a fitness coach? I was like, I don't know. I can't even tell you. Like, I train in person. This is giving me life right now. I'm showing up. And so that really helped me. I'm naturally a social person as well. So sharing my fitness journey, I don't know. I never really felt embarrassed by it, to be honest. I think when I tell this part of the story, I feel like there's just a big God factor in it, where I didn't really know what I was doing, to be honest. And I didn't really know what these steps, or I would have told you I was going left with this, and God was actually like building this path down here for me. And so I know that was a big part of it, where I was just showing up and the pieces somehow fell together. But when in the beginning stages, eventually we have to get intentional. But in the beginning, messy action and just like showing up, it's always gonna serve you. And guys, I look back at those trainings and I look back at some of those videos and I'm like, I was talking a mile a minute, and I know I talk fast now. You should have seen it. I was like caffeinated, you know, pre-workout, all these things, Bang energy drinks. And I was like, how are people listening to me? Like, I really felt like that was a really annoying video that I just watched, you know, looking back on it. But it doesn't matter, because I became known and I continued it because, and documenting my fitness journey, because I got the feedback of people were traveling from different counties to train with me in person from that. And so I think that was also the online world kind of planted a seed to me, even though I wasn't in the online space, but this is a tool for me. So I'm just going to keep showing up, even if I don't really have a goal with it yet.
Yes. I feel so, first off, I used to do It Works. So I'm definitely, I know a lot about the MLM space. And there's lots of thoughts that we can have, but we're going to table that. But I have a very similar journey to you, where I was online by accident, and it was definitely like a God factor. And I love that you mentioned that. It's like, we were put in these positions where nobody told us what to do, but we still took the action. And I feel like that is definitely, that's a key piece that a lot of people miss, because sometimes we try to jump in and be so strategic and know what every step is, but there's so much power in just jumping out and doing something, even if you don't know, because you will figure it out. The plan will unveil itself. And when it does, when it clicks, then you can double down. Then you can actually like put those strategic pieces to it. And so I feel like this is just such a great example of really what it looks like to take messy action and how it can benefit you in the long run, because this is just when you were fitness coaching. But let's talk about now. I don't want to spill it, but you tell us like what happened from that, from you officially pivoting and going online, and tell us what that next step was. And there's two jumps for you, I think. So yes. We can talk through both of those.
Yes. Yeah. So, and this is similar to the first part of my story, but you know, my kids and being a mom, it's just, and my relationships and health and those things, those are my priorities. And so that's going to be a theme throughout this, that I make a lot of decisions in my business based on my life, because that still is my first priority. And I love business. And, you know, on, you see on social media, like I'm always there, I'm always showing up, you know, it's like, I take this very seriously, but it really is one piece of my life. And I treat it as such, you know, so as I was fitness coaching, I love fitness coaching. It's like a huge part of my life and forever. It's just like my jam. If you know me in like real life, you can't, you know, we're eating healthy all the time. We all have our water jugs. Even our little daughters have their little water jugs with them. Like, it's a lifestyle. And so I have a big attachment to that too. So this was a hard decision, but there was a moment, and I can tell you exactly when it was. So December of that year. So in 2019, I had got the coach. I think it was March. So I think it was, or maybe a little after March, but I had started online in that March. And I hired the coach a couple months after that. I couldn't tell you the exact date, but that December, after working with her, building my business to that level, and I was on that way to that six-figure year, and I was able to buy like everyone Christmas gifts, and I wasn't stressed out. And that was like a big moment for me. And I was paying off debt and I was paying off this coach, and I was thinking about re-signing for the next time. And like, I just looked back to the December before, where I was so emotional and I had this debt and I couldn't get all the gifts I want. I mean, I could get like no gifts, you know, and what I did, it was just adding to my credit card debt. And it was just very stressful for me. And so realizing from that December to that next December, like, and I don't even think I was really checking my bank account when I was buying these gifts, which, guys, that's a blessing.
Girl, you know? I'm over here about to cry. Like, I have chills because I know the feeling.
Don't do it. You're going to take
it. What a testimony. I'm sorry, girl, but like, what a testimony. Like, the difference a year can make, like where God can bring us in one year.
Yeah. Mm.
Go ahead, girl. Sorry.
You're going to make me emotional too. Don't go down that road. We're both going to go down. You're going to have two parts of us emotional.
Crying, I know.
Yeah, but it was, you know, it was just a really, really big moment in my life and my family's life. And I knew in that moment, and listen, my brand has been Boss Lady Haley since I started. And I wasn't a business coach then. But God knew, somehow I knew, that was the brand, that's the LLC. And, you know, it's like this, just every piece of our lives and everything we do is just working together, you know, and it makes sense when it makes sense. And that was one of the moments when that seed was planted for me. And I was like, I want to do what my coach did. Like, that changed having the tools and going from stressed out and going, I don't know how I'm going to make this work, but I have to make this work. And I need to do this for my family because I'm adding more debt and I can't come out on the other side worse. I have to make this worth it, you know? And that was when the seed was planted. Like, I want to help other moms do what I did. Say, I want to be home with my kids, be able to do that, whether their spouse makes money or not, whether they're a single mom or not, whatever their circumstances, but being able to make that decision that so many of us want to not have to choose. We want the career, but we also want to be home. And so even though I didn't have business coaching then, I know that's when the seed was planted, because I knew when my life changed, I was like, this is just the freaking beginning. Like, that's nuts. And even if I had stopped there, to be honest, I would have been, I'm a happy mama, you know, because I was doing what I wanted and what I felt like my purpose was as a mom, but also as a coach. And so as I continued a couple months after that, then once I feel like, I never teach something unless I feel like I know it. Like, you won't hear something out of my mouth unless I can teach it on the spot. Like, that's just my style. I have to go through it. I have to experience it. I have to know it backwards and forwards before I teach it. And so even though I had the seed planted, I did not want to go into business coaching until I felt like I could really be an asset to these people that would pay me for it. And so I continued on, and then I launched a business course, and then I got pregnant with my next daughter. So as I'm growing this business, we're now growing our family, and I balanced both. So I launched business coaching alongside fitness coaching, and it was so much, you know, it was really exhausting. You know, I was switching to fitness coaching and then business coaching and marketing this and marketing that. And I felt losing this audience and losing this audience. And you know, people were saying you could do two accounts. And I'm like, I'm not. And then when I got into 2022, so my youngest daughter is February 2022. So end of 2021, I was like, I'm dropping fitness coaching. Like, I love it. And I had a really hard time letting go of those clients. And I had a really hard time letting go of that piece of me, because fitness was a big part of my confidence, was a big part of my mental health, was a big part of my journey to be bold enough to even be here in the first place. And I had a really hard time with that. But again, I knew, I'm like, I'm having two kids, I can't have two businesses. And so I got to choose where my time goes. And it's just not going to be to my business. You know, I'm not going to go into adding a newborn. And so I cut fitness coaching, which was still like the bulk of my income going into 2022. And I just said, January 1, it's gone. And so that was scary, because it was another one of those decisions that I made for family, focused on family. And I dropped most of my income and essentially started over. But I was like, except for the couple one program I had, business coaching, but I was like, I'm a six-figure earner. Like, I'm a six-figure business owner. I've done it once, I can do it again. And so that year I did. And what's crazy is, like, that was one of the toughest years of my life postpartum with my daughter, my youngest daughter. Like, that was like survival mode for so much of that year. And the fact that I could still build that business and still walk away and say, I am a six-figure earner. Like, I am a six-figure business owner. That was, again, just like, this is where I'm meant to be. So very, very long story. And then recently switching to, I went to business coaching for mommy fitness coaches specifically, and recently shifting to all mommy coaches outside of just the fitness niche.
Yes. I listened to your podcast episode where you talked about that last pivot from, you know, mom fitness coaches to now all mom coaches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing that I was hearing as you were talking, and it's something that I've talked about, but, like, you know, paying attention to those God steps that happen in our business, pay attention to those God moments that happen even just in your life. Right. And, you know, sometimes the decisions we make don't make any sense to us, let alone someone else, but it doesn't have to, you know, because, like, God knows what he's doing. And I always say, you know, business is very strategic. It's very, you know, data-driven, numbers-driven, but there is also a huge part of business that is complete faith. Like, it's literally, how much do you trust God to do what he's going to do through you and with you, you know? And just listening to your story, it just really shows, like, when we fully open ourselves up, even when it seems crazy, like, you pulled out a whole nother credit card to pay someone $15,000. To most people, that is insane, right? Yeah. But you knew from the beginning you were a six-figure earner. You know what I'm saying? Like, you knew that this was what you wanted. You knew that you wanted to be home with your kids. And one thing that I always, you know, look for when I'm listening to people's stories is, like, where is their faith? Like, where is their mindset? You know, and consistently through you sharing just how things have pivoted for you, it's always been a radical trust, but not just in yourself, right? It's been a faith and trust that, like, okay, God, this is what I want. This is what I hope you want for me. So I'm just going to let it go, you know? And I feel like sometimes, I see happen so often where we hold so tight to what we're used to, instead of just doing the thing that might seem crazy. Cause, you know, I had a similar experience where I did something pretty crazy where I closed a business down that was 80% of my revenue. You know, it, for all intents and purposes on paper, baby, that was dumb.
Yeah,
like, it's crazy, but, you know, those God moments. And that was, I really love that you shared that. One thing I would love to know, and this, we can kind of wrap it up with this piece. One thing I would like to know is, what do you feel like, because I know that you run, like, you do most of your marketing on social media. What do you feel like has been the change in your message, or, like, the way that your community responds to you? And how do you really feel about that? Like, how have you felt about, like, the response or the journey that you've gone on with your community? Because I feel like sometimes that's one of the hard pieces too, is, like, showing up in the pivot, you know, and like you mentioned, you know, you had, like, your fitness clients, and it's like, am I alienating this audience? So, like, how did that feel for you, and how did you kind of navigate that almost messy space of transitioning?
Absolutely messy. So that's, you really, yeah, it's so true. So there are a few moments, and I think these are good transparent moments too, where, you know, people didn't like it, you know, and that's it. But I think we have to say, where am I going? What am I looking at? What am I working towards? And does this support that? You know, am I taking the steps? And then also checking with ourselves, am I acting integrity? Am I, you know, showing up the way that I want to show up? Am I being my best self? Am I being someone that I'm proud of? Am I truly showing up and speaking to this ideal client, you know, because I'm here to serve this person. And so when I first shifted into business coaching, people, I had to split my email audience and stuff. And some people were there for both, you know, you have your raving fans that are there for whatever you do, you know, but there were people that were like, hey, like, I really just want to see more fitness content. Like, you would really should really just go back to that. And I was like, thank you for sharing your opinion, but that's not what I'm doing. And you can be here for it and you cannot. And I remember an email from someone that such a good human, adore her. And unfortunately, it was just like, it was a tough moment because it was a past client. It was someone I had worked with. It was one of those things that you just like have trust in this person. It was a fellow Christian, and just kind of like saying like, hey, you can't do this. It was like, that was a dagger in the heart a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But I had to say, this is what I'm doing and you're here or you're not. And I had to watch, I got good advice from an email marketing specialist that said, never look at your unsubscribes. And that really helped me because I would see that ding, 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 even if it was one, two, you know, on those emails as I was shifting into this. But guys, I'm shifting, like, and you're not my ideal client anymore. So do I want that? Are you doing the work for me from weeding out this list? Yes. So I have to look at it as that, you know? And there were other moments when I pivoted into mommy coaching, and I'm very direct. So I'm very, very like, this is it. This is how motherhood is. And I pour into making moms feel seen. Like, it is harder running a business as a mom. Like, I can't even believe that people respond negatively to that. And it's only ever for moms, you know? And I try to come so from ridiculous. An understanding of like, listen, when I wasn't a mom, I had thoughts and I had comments that came out of my mouth and I regret it. You know, I did not know what I was doing. And so I try to look at these people and say, they don't know. They don't know. Just like your world was rocked more than you could ever imagine, they would have to step into motherhood. And then they would come back and say, I'm so sorry I made that comment on your page. I'm so sorry that I threw hate at you. I'm so sorry. You know, and that's what I tell myself. But again, and it was when I shifted into mommy coaching, people were triggered. You know, and there were great people that were not moms that were my clients at the time that stayed with me, you know, and still there's special circumstances where non-moms work with me that are in my world. But for them, there was like those comments and random hate on the internet. That's okay. I delete it. I call it the stop, drop, and roll for haters. I'm like, stop reading, block them, delete the comment, never look at it again. Don't give yourself space, you know, but when it's someone you've worked with, when it's a past or current client that's triggered, when it's something like that, that sucks. And it also was another fellow Christian. And that really sucked because, again, it's like, I hold you to a higher standard. I do. And that's another conversation for another day. But the disappointment, and that was a hard moment for me. And so I knew that was a test in that moment. And I can't say really how. I think God gave me the confidence and the guidance that I asked for again and again, you know, and somehow I stayed that path. And you just have to understand when you pivot and you change and you make a decision for you and your family and your business, and when you get really specific and bold speaking to your ideal client, then you are going to have people that do not like it. And they could be people in your life. They could be people in your world. But you got to move forward. You know, if you want to do this, if you want to be in the online space, you got to be on social media. So we have to move through this, like, I want everyone to like me. I want everyone to understand where I'm coming from, because that's something I struggled with. Like, I want everyone to know my good intentions. Like, I want them to understand this. And I, for that first person, and it was only like two people, and that's the thing, but I remember those two people, you know, they stuck in my heart. And that's something I've had to really work through. But like, I responded to one of them, and I remember in the mastermind I was in, the girls who were not moms either, I was the only mom in this mastermind, they came back to me and they were like, you handled that so beautifully, because no way would I have responded to that woman, you know? But I came from this place of like, I'm going to show up and I'm going to, you know, be the best person I can. Learning lesson, I wouldn't have responded. I would have deleted it, but it was someone I respected, you know, so I wanted to give that response. But yeah, so those things happen and they suck, but I just want you guys to like be prepared. And I think that's a big thing. It's like when we talk about this hard stuff, that when you make changes, not everyone's going to like it, but it's not about them. It's not about them.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that was so good. And I feel like we could talk about that honestly for days, because there's so many things that as we make decisions and as we really just get into our role of who we are and who we're called to serve, we are going to have these kind of things come up. And it really is a test of our leadership and us really being able to lead ourselves and also lead our community, you know, because it's other people that are watching us have these engagements and stuff. And I definitely have dealt with, you know, clients, like people that I love so much, and then they say something and it really rocks you. Like, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, what happened? You know, and navigating that is such a, it's such a heartbreaking experience, but also like an experience for me to be like, you know what? I'm gonna lean on God right now.
Yeah.
Give me some wisdom on how I should navigate this. And we just have to keep it moving, because like you've been saying this whole time, it's like, you've made a decision. The decision is already made. This is not an open debate or open forum. This is not a group conversation. It's a decision that's been made on behalf of the company and myself. So, you know, I really love that. So let's close this out, because we need to go and chit chat over with part two. But last two questions I have, well, this is, you can answer all this together, but over here, we're all about bare minimums. Like, what's the bare minimum, your bare minimum strategy, things like that. So I would love for you to share, like, what is your bare minimum strategy for your business? Or maybe not your strategy, but actually, like, what does bare minimum look like to you in terms of how much time you spend in your business? So you can tell us, like, you know, how many hours, or like, you know, if you have like certain work hours that you have. So talk us through like your schedule a little bit, because it's just nice to see like what other moms are doing, because we're all doing something different. And then also tell us how we can keep up with you, and how we can go listen to part two of our podcast.
Awesome. So, that's such a good question. I'm actually pretty strict with boundaries in my business. It's something that you just have to do when you're balancing a family too. I think even if you don't have a family, it's a good thing to do, but when you have a family, it kind of forces you into it a little bit more. So I work 4 days a week on most weeks. That's Monday through Thursday. And then Friday, Saturday are like flex days. So if I don't get my tasks done for the week, they can go into that. Or if, you know, my oldest daughter just had a birthday, so if her birthday was on Wednesday, so I'm not doing a bunch of work on Wednesday. And then that got pushed, you know? So I have flexibility in the end of my week to do that. And there are exceptions made on those days. But I make sure that every week I have a full off day. I'm not doing anything. I don't need my phone. I don't need my computer. I try to work 20 hours. If I have a big project, then it might be a little bit more like 25, but I stay within that range. And that's just really been good for my sanity. It's been good for our family. It really allows me to show up at my business, but also in my household. I have very strict limits in my programs that I don't go above. And I really make sure to stay into that. So right now I have my husband home with me. And so that has been like a godsend. If anyone gets help from a spouse, like, you know, and my husband can do anything. Like, you know, some husbands don't do all the things. They don't know how to do all the things. My husband is like on it. He was raised in like a daycare household. Like, he's on it. And so I'm very thankful for that. We went through, when I started my business, crazy hours, because he was a police officer, and that was really hard because the hours changed. And so now I'm very thankful that I have that support in the house. And so when I have calls or things like that, I'm able to get support, or recording podcasts. That is like changes the game as a mom, to be able to sit in your office at all, to even have an office, you know, because that's not how I started. And I have those basics of like, what are my must-do tasks every week? It's very structured so that no matter how crazy my week is, I can still show up and do what I need to do, you know? And so hopefully that answers that question. Does that answer my bare minimum? Yes. Awesome. And then you guys can find me in Instagram at Boss Lady Haley. That is my main hangout. So if you ever want to chat, you listen to this episode and you're like, oh my gosh, I heard you on Kay's podcast, let's connect, send me a DM. I'd love to chat, open book. I promise I'm just as friendly as I sound here. I'd love to chat with you guys. And then you can also find me, and you can find part two of this podcast episode where we talk about the struggle signs of things as running a business as a mom, on the Mama Method podcast, the podcast for moms in business.
Yes. And y'all, Haley loves some voice notes. Y'all know I love voice notes. Haley loves voice notes too. So feel free to go over there and kiki with her. This has been so great though. Thank you so much. Let's go. We're going to go and hop over and do part two. So we won't act like this is goodbye because it's not. but I just so appreciate you just really sharing transparently like your story and really giving us that context, because it's so nice to just hear what other moms are doing to just encourage all of us in our respective walks and journeys and pivots. So I really appreciate you just being really open and candid with us. And I'm just so excited to keep talking.
Yes, you are so, so welcome. Thank you for having me. And I'll see you over on the next podcast.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. I know you loved it, so go ahead and leave a 5-star review. Make sure to share this episode and tag me at Moms Do Business Different and at Mrs. K. Hillman so Ayantha knows it's real. May you walk in your purpose and calling every single day to steward the life and business that God has called you to. Until next time, let's get this money.